And good morning, Park Church. My name's Tom. Honored to serve you and serve with you. And think about this. We recognize it when we see it. There is great beauty and dignity in honorable service. Now, it just so happens, as many of you know, that it's Veterans Day weekend. So I wanted to pause and echo what our vice president said yesterday. For those of you who are here who are veterans or have family members that are, we're grateful. As vice president said, for those of you who have served, we're grateful for you who have sacrificed. To you who do and have served honorably, we simply say thanks. Now today, we focus on the beauty and dignity of Christ-like servanthood. And as I've thought about this from the Bible, it's called up a question in me that I want you to ponder in just a few minutes. What is the mindset as well for those who honorably serve? To be straight ahead, where some of us serve, but it isn't so well, is it? And some that we recognize it when we see it, those who serve well, there's a great beauty. A recent author challenges us when he says, many Christians today have replaced servanthood with selfhood. Part of me, to be truthful, wants to show up and to be served, you know? Not so much at times to serve. And part of me wants to show up at times and have it my way, and not so much to consider the way or the needs of others first. Or part of me wants to show up and ask what you or my church or my country could do for me, not so much at times what I can do for you or for my church or for my country. I'm assuming others of you are a bit like me, you in that way, right? So you've heard the following messages in our culture, right? This is what pulls us this way. What are some of the messages we get from our culture? Have it your way. Do you not hear this in advertising? Do what makes you happy. You owe it to yourself. You deserve it. Oh, some people actually think that this is a verse in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. Look in your Bible, it is not there anywhere, you know. And the way of Jesus is radically different. And we'll look at that today. So here's the take home. I'd like you to take this home with you. Jesus' followers, Jesus' disciples, we are replacing selfhood with servanthood. Another way to say that, as Jesus' followers, we are growing out of selfhood and into servanthood. And I want to call your attention to a rich part of God's Word today. It's in John in chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, by the way, if you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, take one. We've got some out there. We'd love to, you know, get one home. I like the printed copies. I've got it on my device and my phone. You'll have it on the screen. But somewhere, go with me right now to John chapter 13. And we're going to read just parts of this chapter, not the entire chapter. Now, here's the setting, and I'm going to back up a couple verses from what you have on the screen, so stay with me. Jesus has taught, Jesus has healed, Jesus has ministered, and he is now with his followers headed to the city called Jerusalem, and Jesus knows that this will culminate what he's been called to, his final mission. He's headed to the cross. And it is that week that we pick up the story in John chapter 13. Here are a couple verses before what you'll see. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And then here we go. And during supper, this is the Passover meal, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, and that he was going to God. He got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. I want to stop there, make a few comments, and then we'll read one other part of John 13. Did you notice that Jesus knew where he came from? He knew where he was going. He knew what his mission was. Out of that, and not long before he would go to the cross, he'd arrived in the city of Jerusalem, and he's sharing this Passover festival meal with his friends and his disciples. Can you picture that context? Soon he would die on the cross in our place, on our behalf, so that we might have forgiveness of sin and right relationship with God the Father, that we might live fully and have the hope of heaven. He knew that. That's what he was about. Would you think about arriving with him? Maybe picture being one of his followers in that day. And we would have, if we were part of the gang before the supper, what would we have done? We actually wouldn't have arrived at that supper in a limo. The other thing we wouldn't have done would have chosen probably which one of our pairs of shoes to wear. In fact, during that day, they would have worn sandals and they would have walked on dusty, dirty roads. In our closets, many of us, and some of you were there this morning in your closet. In our closets, most of us have some sandals, some dress shoes, some running shoes, some walking shoes, some training shoes, some dress boots. So, you know what I'm saying? Now, back then, there were sandals. Many of us have and wear so many shoes, we don't think about washing feet. In that culture, dirty feet, it was part of the time and part of the day as people arrived by walking. And it was tradition when you arrived in a certain place in someone's home to wash feet upon arrival. To wash the feet of guests at a festival was the office of a slave or a servant. Can you picture having been there? Your skin's dusty. Your legs are probably weary. You feel hungry. Your feet are dirty. And you show up in this room to share this special meal annually shared by God's people. And the Passover festival, if that's new to you or you just want to remember, what is this? It was to celebrate the exodus of the Jews from slavery in Egypt. And it was soon to be that Jesus would break bread and tell them that it represented his body to be broken, and to pour the cup that would represent his blood that would be shed. Why? To free people from the slavery of our sin. Now, we have a little insight into what else was happening besides dirty feet as the followers of Jesus would have arrived in that room. Sometimes if you're studying a part of the scripture and you have a bit of time, go to what's called a parallel passage. The Gospel of Luke, as Luke wrote about this, he gives us a bit of an insight that John chooses not to, wasn't led to by God's Spirit, as it's recorded. But Luke tells us the same setting in Luke 22, verse 24. Do you know what? Not only were the disciples' feet dirty, do you know what was on their mind? Do you know what was in their discussion? And Liz prayed about this morning. Luke tells us that Jesus' followers were disputing among themselves about what? Which one of them is going to be the greatest? So they come with dirty feet, and they come on their minds and in their mouths, a dispute about, this is the position I'm going, which one of us is and is going to be greatest. Now, is that not like us? It often is, isn't it? That they were arguing about status and position. As Jesus gets up, then, surprisingly, to wash their feet. Jesus, did you notice that? Jesus did what none of the others in the room were prepared to do. He demonstrated his love, the Bible says here, by serving them. He took upon the role of the servant. Barclay, a good Bible student, he wrote a commentary on the Gospel of John. Listen to his words. He said it this way: Jesus knew that this hour of humiliation was near, but he knew that his hour of glory was also near. Such a consciousness, this is what was on his mind, such a consciousness might well have filled him with pride, and yet with the knowledge of the power and the glory that were his, he washed the disciples' feet, says Barclay. At that moment, when he might have had supreme pride, he had supreme humility. It's a thing of beauty, isn't it? We know it when we see it. And if we were there, we would have seen it. And it was a thing, I'm sure, of beauty. The juxtaposition of Jesus' servanthood, it stood in stark contrast to that self-centeredness of the disciples at that moment. They came, they were hungry, they took a seat at the table. Jesus knew and saw, and he got up and he served. Now, let's go on in John chapter 13. You'll see this again on the slide. A little bit downstream, we read this. It gives us some other insight, and we're going to pick it up. I'm going to pick it up in verse 12. We'll read through verse 17. Now, after he, or Jesus, had washed their feet, he put on his robe. He returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've set you an example," Jesus said, "that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them." Yeah. It goes beyond understanding them. It includes doing them. I think Jesus might want to ask us a similar question today. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand things like serve us to serve others represents who Jesus is and what he has done? Others have said service enables us to say no to the world's games of self-centered promotion. Someone else talked about living in the discipline of service, what it starts with receiving the love and forgiveness of Christ, and it continues with sharing the word of Christ and the gospel of grace with others. I'd summarize it this way: service is about others, and it's because of Christ. And there's a thing of beauty when that happens. It includes showing up not just to be served, but to serve and give. Who did that? The Bible says Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. This kind of serving gives sacrificially, generously, and often quietly. Do you understand? Now, here's a picture I have of this. It's a picture I will never forget. And you've pictured Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I want to take you to a recent event just several years ago that was so striking to me as I watched this, I wanted to tell you. Some of you know of the stores and the food service called Chick-fil-A. And it's been in the news, not always for great reasons, but I've been fascinated in business news with the Cathy family, Atlanta, Georgia, who runs Chick-fil-A. Now, I happen to have a friend in Colorado, an ex-Marine, who after he got out of the Marines was going to open a Chick-fil-A store. And he said, "Hey, Tom, here's the thing. Chick-fil-A, when we open a store, they have this big to-do and, you know, current employees and families and other people. Anyway, could you come to the dinner, our opening dinner, and like be there with me and like do the invocation, the prayer?" I said, "Oh, I'd love to, you know, I'd be honored." Well, so it was that setting, and I did a little bit of homework on Chick-fil-A. They were in over 30 states, hundreds of stores back in the day, and I'd read some about the Cathy family and their leadership. Well, my friend said, Dan Cathy, one of the bigwigs in Chick-fil-A, it's a priority of his, whenever possible, to come to these opening dinners. I think he's going to be there. I thought, well, that's great. You know, that'd be a good thing. So I kind of admired that idea that would be a priority of Mr. Dan Cathy. So I went that evening, and it was a formal thing, and it was as actually a December evening, I remember that, and we all had coats and gloves, and it was at a country club, very nice setting, and we checked our coats, you know, that whole kind of thing. You get it. And we went to our tables, and our tables all had names on them. We found our table, and we were served beautifully. You know, the food was great, and the staff was great. And then my friend got up to welcome the families and the guests, and he did that really nicely. And then he introduced Dan Cathy, who people wanted to meet and to hear from. Now, here's what stunned me. As Dan got up to speak briefly to the group, I realized that he'd been the one with the towel on his sleeve that had served our table. Very graciously, very humbly, very beautifully. Now, I not only admired him at this point for making it a priority to come to these dinners, there was a part of me that greatly respected him as he humbly served. A man who'd been written up in business journals, and his priority of the moment was to have a towel on his arm and to serve some of the group. A servant mindset, it's a thing of great beauty when we see it. What is that? As I've pondered that, I'm stealing some of these ideas from a friend. His name is Steve Moore. He's the president of Next Leader. But I want to invite you into thinking about this, and then a closing challenge. Because if you're sitting there going, you know what, I love to see and experience people who serve well, those who run toward the emergency, those who run in to help others, not run away. It's a thing of great beauty, isn't it? Those who have a towel over their arm in the right way at the right moment, a thing of great beauty. What's the mindset of such honorable service? There are four things that Steve talks about that I want you to consider, and then I'll present a challenge and we will be done today. One part of our mindset as a servant, think about this, we would actually believe that no status belongs to me. We are inclined to think first of our status, our privilege, or our position. The disciples were doing that at the Passover meal. We're inclined to that as well. And then the Son of God grabs a towel and he serves. We often want to look important, receive recognition, seek status. Jesus did not. One student of the Bible put it this way, and I think it's true, no leader has ever created a more status-free environment than Jesus. It's a thing of great beauty. We know it when we see it. Servant leaders realize it's not just about me, it's about others, it's because of Jesus. We think, well, actually, there's no status that belongs to me. Here's another part of a mindset of a servant leader and a servant. No success is because of me. Now, think carefully. What I'm not saying is we don't have responsibility. What I am saying is no success is fully because of you or because of me. Consider this, and some of you are living here. Some of you have had great success, and you know it brings what? Often recognition and reward. Yeah. What's the problem? The problem is when we get to believe that because I've got the reward now, it's actually about me. It's because I'm so great. It's because I'm so good. I'm so deserving. When there are victories, wins, and successes, a servant says, well, it wasn't because of me alone. I actually thank others and give God glory. It comes from a mindset that no success is just because of me. You might say, is that in the Bible? Think about this. John 5:19 says, the Son, meaning Jesus, can do nothing by himself. He said this. He only does what he sees the Father doing. John 15 says, apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Pretty crazy, huh? Nothing of value spiritually. Philippians 4:13, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Do you know that verse? I can do all things. And it ain't period or exclamation mark. The verse says, I can do all things, what? Through Christ who strengthens me. Key verse in the Bible. That's the mindset of a servant. No status belongs to me. No success is just or because of me. Do you think this way? Servants do. Here's a third one. Try this on for size. How's it going? Like it gets to me, right? No service is beneath me. Huh. Philippians chapter 2 says Jesus, he took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, fully God, became fully human. The nature of a servant. Jesus then lived and served and died as a servant. And when we serve him and his purposes, we represent him. Here's another story. Some of you love what God's doing around the world. And many of you who followed that for a while know the name Dawson Trotman. He's now in heaven. He was the founder and president of a good group called the Navigators. Their headquarters is in Colorado Springs, Colorado today. And Dawson was a tremendous leader and a great, really humble man of God. The story is told that one day he visited Taiwan for ministry, and he hiked with a national pastor in Taiwan back into a mountain village. The roads and the trails were wet, it was said, and their shoes became muddy. And sometime after that ministry trip, the Taiwanese pastor was asked what he remembered most about Dawson Trotman, this American statesman who'd come to serve and minister together with him. Without hesitation, the pastor replied, he cleaned my shoes. What had happened was Dawson had gotten up before that other pastor in the morning and cleaned the mud off of his shoes, and that was just a symbol of how he's remembered by so many as a powerful servant leader. Service. No service is beneath me. Here's a fourth one. And then there's our last one, the mindset. No sacrifice is beyond me. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death on a cross. A guy named C.T. Studd, what a name, right? How do you like to be named Studd? That was his last name, you know, not bad, right? For a guy, yeah. C.T. Studd said it this way, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no service or sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Friends, too many of us, when I think about these things, I say, I am, and too many of us, we're replacing servanthood with selfhood. Jesus' followers are growing out of selfhood and into servanthood. A great journey we can join each other on. There's a great beauty and dignity in honorable, sacrificial service. Now, here's the last part. You've listened recently, and you've been in an environment here where there have been warriors and responders and servers, and you've seen them, even on the news, serve well. Such people are often asked, why? You know what they, remember what they often say? Like, why'd you do that? What prompted you to do that? And very often they'll say, like, well, it's just like it's the right thing to do. You know, or I'm trained to do it. That was my job, you know. Check it out. Pay attention when they're asked why. Friends, what the Bible's talking about here is when we serve God and others fully and beautifully and richly, it actually isn't because it sounds right or it sounds best or it's our job or it makes us look good, or it makes others pleased with us, or it seems helpful, or even that it seems moral. Now, those aren't bad reasons. But we serve God and one another. Why? Because of what's been done for us. We love because we've first been loved. Now think about this. We do not serve, says the Bible, to earn grace. We serve because we have received grace. This is absolutely key to our mindset and our motivation of service. We serve because we do that because of what's been done for us in and through Christ. So today, here's the challenge. You have one of two challenges in this. Some of you say, huh, well, like, I'm, you know, Jesus is very appealing to me. He's a person of great beauty as I consider what he did and what he taught. And here's the thing. If you've not received the grace and salvation that is offered through Christ, today's a great day to do that. You know, we do that by faith, that we personally trust in Jesus' work on the cross as payment for our sin. Have you done that? If you haven't, you're invited to step across the line of faith today and first receive what he's given to you. He's brought life and forgiveness of sin. And trust him, his work on your behalf. Have you done that? See and trust in Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross for you. That's the ultimate act of his love and his service. If you want to know more about that, grab one of us later. We'd love to talk with you more, pray with you, for you to trust Christ personally if you have not. Some of you say, well, like, I get that. I mean, I've personally trusted Jesus and his work on the cross for me, and I've received his grace and his salvation. Then do you realize then that as a follower, that no status belongs to you, no success is just because of you, no service is beneath you, and no sacrifice would be beyond you or me. We do not fully pick up a towel and grab a basin until our hearts have been changed by Jesus. So, friends, let's serve in response to him and because of him and what he has done. It's a thing of great beauty and of great dignity. Let's pray as the band comes up. Father, we Thank you for the crazy challenge to be servants. Your way is radical, it is also beautiful, and it is life-giving. So as we come today to again sing and to share around the Lord's table, what we do is we first of all receive what you have given. We receive what you have done. And because of that, we then do. We serve you and one another. May we do that well for your sake and your glory, I pray. Amen.